When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
And welcome to episode 72 of How You At You. It's your girl Shanice from K-Pop Box.
And Shay from the K-Way. And on this podcast, we love hanging out with you guys, talking through the hottest K-news, your unpopular opinions, dilemmas, and everything in between.
Yes, so if you want to join the conversation, make sure you hit us up on socials at How You At You. So let's sit back, relax, and let's get it started.
Yes, so our very first segment, per usual, is Hot Topics, aka BBC Shanice. So Shanice is going to give us a rundown of the hottest K news that's come up over the past week or so. So Shanice, spill the tea.
Blackpink in your area, maybe news. So through Weverse, Jennie confirms that she and her members are already gearing up for a comeback. That should be happening soon. Of course, some fans have trust issues with YG and they will just wait for an official statement. But maybe might be having a Blackpink comeback soon-ish.
Oh.
So look out for that, I guess. Moving on. That was very short and sweet. Moving on. G-Idol's Soyeon and her agency Cube Entertainment have released a statement in response to the plagiarism controversy around the My Teen Girl finale song. So My Teen Girl is an NBC girl group audition program that aired its finale live on the 25th of February. Soyeon was a mentor on the show and gifted the contestants a song called Sun. She composed this song for them to perform at the finale. After the finale aired, it drew people's attention as it had a similar chorus to AT's 2019 song Wave. KQ Entertainment, AT's agency, stated that while their producing team's name had been listed in the credits of Sun, they had not given permission for either the song or the producer's name to be used. In a statement released on the 28th of February, Cube Entertainment apologized for the controversy and said that Soyeon spoke directly to the producer of the AT song about the situation and apologized to them. They acknowledged the similarity and gave credit. After Soyeon's discussion with the producer, she sent a request to the production team of Sun asking to modify the credits. 1 hour before it was set to be released, the producer's agency told Cube that they had opposed this, but since the request had already been done and already been made, the song was released and it was, you know, the other producer's name was basically already on it, even though technically he opposed for it. If that made sense. I hope that made sense. So Cube apologizes again and said that they will do their best so that this issue doesn't occur again. I think with stuff like this, sometimes, you know, you might hear something ages ago or hear something through passing and then later on think that, oh yeah, I did it. I guess Soyeon's heart wasn't in the, like, a malicious or bad place, because, you know, even before it was released, she did put the producer's name onto the credits, even though it wasn't approved before it went out.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I guess it's hard. You gotta be careful, man. You gotta be careful.
It is, and I haven't heard this, the song in question, but sometimes where, like, similar samples are used and other stuff, like, it can be a bit of sticky territory, but... yeah, like you said, it doesn't seem like it was a malicious situation.
And last but not least, Pledis Entertainment has announced the expiration of newest contracts. So on the 28th of February, the agency announced that the members' contracts will expire on the 14th of March. So JR, Aaron and Ren will be leaving Pledis Entertainment, while Becko and Minhyun will renew their contracts. This isn't like a 2PM or a Mamamoo situation where, you know, some members are leaving the agency but they're still sticking as a group. I think this is a disbandment of New West. So, yeah. Okay. That's that, folks. So that's Hot Topics, Hot Topics. If there's any stories you want to comment on, or my mind just went blank. Or you want us to talk about, make sure you hit us up on socials at How You At You. Moving on to our next segment called Say What. You send your unpopular opinions, dilemmas, hot tea, dramas, yeah, sure, whatever. Send that to howyoutea@gmail.com. That's howyoutea@gmail.com. Or you could submit a form at kpopbox.co.uk/howyouatyou. So Shay, take it away.
Okay. Technically, we're recording this on the last day of February. So I thought we're finishing the second month of the year. We can chuck in an extra unpopular opinion. So we have four for today. So our very first one is, I don't have to forgive an idol because they apologize, but they should definitely apologize regardless.
I agree.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think this is really unpopular, is it? Shouldn't be.
I guess, well, there are, I've definitely seen people that are like, X, Y, and Z apologize, so you should just forgive them and move on with it.
True. But on a human level, if someone does something to upset you or offend you, and they are aware of it, or made aware of it, they should apologize. And again, like, if I've done something to you, Shay, and I apologize, you don't necessarily have to accept that apology, but there should be an apology regardless.
Exactly.
So I don't see the difference just because you got someone's got money put behind them and they're shoved down your throat that they have some sort of free meal ticket to not apologize. That doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, you should definitely apologize for your wrongdoings. And that is definitely one thing in the K-pop world that has upset me sometimes, where there might be like scandals or something bad that's happened where an idol or a company or a whole group has offended maybe a race of people or anything in that sort of realm, and nothing said. It's just kind of like waited out.
Mm.
I'm like, what? Like, this is a big deal. Like, someone should say something. But yeah, no. Hey, we both agree with this one. Okay, moving on to our next unpopular opinion. I find that I really like mixed race or even foreign idols in K-pop groups more than I do their Korean counterparts. And don't get me wrong, it's not because of their race, but because they tend to be more relatable, in my opinion.
Well, I'm guessing this is coming from an international fan, so maybe that's why you relate to them more. I mean, that's like human nature, I guess. You're going to relate to people that you feel like there's some sort of common ground.
Mm.
For example, you may be like a front idol, you may not even be like the same nationality or race or whatever, but it's the fact that they're foreign and they're in Korea and maybe they're living out your dream. I'm just placing this upon you. This may not even be your dream, but I'm just saying for some people, they're living out your dream. You can kind of relate to that. Whereas, or you can relate to, I don't know, an idol struggling with Korean and then you see them over time getting better at Korean and it's just like, wow, like, if they can do it, I can do that. I can learn Korean or I can whatever. Do you get what I mean?
Yeah, no, that makes sense.
Yeah, that's what I'm getting.
I agree as well. Like, I can understand it from the standpoint of being able to relate to them. Maybe they have similar struggles to you, but maybe even culturally, whereas you might not be able to relate to Korean culture as much. You might relate to the Western idol a bit more because they have similar mannerisms. Not that there's like an umbrella in culture in the West, but they might behave in a similar way to what you're used to, where you live or where you're from. So yeah, no, that makes sense. Fair enough, if that's your opinion. And this next person said, some of my least favorite K-drama tropes are when one of the main characters get amnesia, the evil stepmom, or even when they knew each other as kids, so they have a magical deep connection. And Tempted was a good drama, contrary to popular belief. Okay, let's break down the first bit. So the first bit is that they really dislike K-drama tropes, such as when the main characters get amnesia, the evil stepmom, and even when the two main characters sort of knew each other as kids, so they have this deep connection.
Because I don't really watch K-drama, like, recent K-dramas, are these still like common tropes, Shay?
Like now, of recent?
Because I want to say no, but I don't watch dramas like that, so I could be missing something.
I would definitely say the trope that, oh, they knew each other as kids, so they have like this deep connection. That's a timeless one that still happens now. I haven't seen many amnesia cases, so they're leaving that alone because that was so frustrating back in the day. And then the evil stepmoms, I think that's still a thing now, especially in K-dramas that sort of deal with like hierarchies and the wealthy and that sort of thing.
With the family that has money, oh, you just want my son because he's rich.
Like, I'm going to pay you off. Leave my son alone.
Yeah, here's some money. Leave my son.
Well, I swear there was like one K-drama and I feel like Woobin was in it. And I don't know if someone hit someone with a car. I feel like someone got hit by a car and it was something to do with like not wanting people to be together. Something crazy happened like that.
I don't know.
Yeah, but some of these tropes are very, very frustrating.
See, if it was me in that position, the mom's like, take this money. I'm going to take it. Tell your son I still love him. But I need to feed my family. But I'm still going to see you on Tuesday.
Oh, my God. And maybe it might be a cultural difference or just like content-specific situations. But I feel like if someone's mom was like being super mean to me and was trying to like bribe me to stay away from them, I would tell them. And in so many dramas, they just like, they get sad and they don't say.
And then they just act all distant. And then the guy's like, not none the wiser. And he's just like, what's going on? It's like, I just can't right now. It's like, tell him that his mom's bullying you, bro.
Honestly. And then the last part of this unpopular opinion is Tempted was a good drama, contrary to popular belief.
I don't know what it is.
Oh, what's his name? My brain. I know the guy. So it's a drama that Joy's in and this other guy, love him. I can't remember his name. But the overall story goes from what I remember anyway. So Joy is this like regular girl, and then there's this sort of clique with two guys and one girl, and they're in this friendship group, and the girl in the friendship group secretly sort of likes the main lead guy, and then the third wheel guy likes the other girl that likes the main lead guy. I don't know if I'm making any sense, but then they have like a bet between them, and they tell the main guy like, you should try and seduce Joy and like get her to fall for you, I think. So it's like this story of him trying to seduce her and make a fool for him. Then he actually starts to fall for her. And then I think one of them end up telling Joy that it was all for a bet or something.
That sounds like a plot I've heard before. Not necessarily in a K-drama, but I've definitely heard that plot before.
It's happened before. But from what I remember, I enjoyed it. I'm not going to say it's the best drama ever, but I enjoyed it. I feel like a lot of people hate on it and it wasn't that bad.
I feel like people need to remember, like, there's levels, and not everything needs to be like
Oscar worthy
and Oscar worthy. Do you know what I mean? Like, yeah. Sometimes we just need something lighthearted, has a good story, it's easy to follow.
Exactly. You know? That was his name, like Woo Do Hwan. I think I might have butchered that pronunciation, but that's the main lead guy. He was also in the drama that came out, I think, last year with Lee Min Ho. It's like The King, Your Eternal Monarch or something like that. But
sure.
I liked it. It was okay. And then moving on to our last unpopular opinion, this person said, can you please, please, please talk about what seems to be the worst debut ever? NMIX. Love the show.
LOL. Okay, I feel like I have an unpopular opinion about this.
Okay.
Because before I watched it in its entirety and I saw certain things and I saw like certain people's takes on it like online, I was like, oh, okay, this doesn't sound good. But then I watched it and for me, like it kind of makes sense, but it doesn't. Hear me out. So what I think JYP was going for, but it wasn't very clear. It was giving me, you know, when idols have a new mini album coming out and then they have like that short like 2-minute video of what each track is gonna sound like. They give like a snippet of each track, right?
Yeah.
I feel like that's what that was, but it wasn't done right in a sense of, I think, and I could be wrong, I think they were two or maybe three. I think it went from one song to the other song to back to the first song. I think I could be wrong. But I think it was like two, maximum three songs in one, just to show, like, I guess both sides, because like what the middle part was like more like girly and sweet. And the first and the last part was like more, I guess, like your girl crush hardcore kind of concept, right? So I feel like they were trying to show both sides of what this group possibly can produce. And I think it didn't land. I think they were trying to give, at the same time, so they were trying to give that, like, this is what we've got, like, all in one video. Mm-hmm. And I also feel like, I hate when songs do this sometimes, because sometimes it doesn't work. It was giving me very much, you know, when you first listen to Girls' Generation, I Got a Boy, and it keeps changing, and you're like, at the end, when you first listen to that song, you're like, what did I just listen to? I'm very confused. Even though the difference with Girls' Generation and with NMIX, I feel like with the I Got a Boy, there was still some sort of flow to it. The changing of the tracks or the tempo, not the tempo, yeah, the tempo or whatever, didn't sound as jarring as NMIX's, if that makes sense.
I think that's a fair opinion. I can't have a full-on opinion about this because I've literally only listened to snippets of the song. A subscriber of mine was actually trying to show me the music video, so I've seen bits, but I get what they were trying to do, because they were just like, we're debuting, we've got like a good sponsor, like let's give them everything. But sometimes less is more. I think they tried to do too much.
Yeah, definitely.
And I definitely got the vibe, like you were saying, they tried to put too many songs together in a way and it clashed. And I'm not biased, but I think K-pop should leave experimenting to SM and SM only.
I agree.
Because this feels like someone, and this isn't any shade to JYP, they have their own color, they have amazing artists and songs, but it feels like a producer heard an SM track or like was watching an aespa video and was like, let's try and outdo this. And it just didn't go too well. So it's finding that good balance. There was also this clip I saw on TikTok, and I think the guy's a PD-nim or like a producer of some sort. And he was saying it kind of feels like, so sometimes companies and music companies, they do, I don't know if it's like a competition, but they do a call or like a blast saying that they're looking for a title track for this new group or something. So then they get submitted like lots of songs beats and whatnot. And then sometimes what companies then do from that standpoint is try and mix everything together. So it just felt like a bad marriage of things. Or it could have all been done intentionally to be a PR thing, because now everyone's talking about them.
Yeah, it's true. I think what matters now is what they do next.
Exactly.
I've definitely seen certain clips from like pre-debut, whatever. These girls, obviously, they're not untalented, they have talent.
Yeah.
It's just this song or whatever. And as you said before, that you reminded me actually, I think part of the song did kind of feel like a commercial.
Yes, it's the Coke bit.
It's the Coke Zero or whatever they said, I can't remember. And they had the can, and I was just like, I know like music videos, you know, sometimes they'll promote certain things, but. And it's not necessarily subtle either. It's like, oh, I'm putting on my Beats headphones and I'm drinking my Evian water or whatever, right? Like, it's never that subtle, but I don't know. I felt like that felt quite jarring as well.
Yeah, but that's what I mean. Like, one, we've seen how meticulous JYP is when it comes down to music. And sometimes people simulate, like, the face of the company to, like, whoever dealt with a certain production. So he may have had nothing to do with this. But they've been in the game for a while. Like, they know what they're doing. So it kind of feels intentional, in my opinion. It doesn't feel like an accident. Because, like, you would know how to, like, subtly promote something. I haven't looked at the lyrics of the song, or I haven't listened to the song either, properly. So but if your sponsor was Coke, there are so many ways that you could have, like, subtly integrated that into the video. Like, there could have been, like, part of the choreo could have shown like something bubbling up and like kind of exploding, and it could have gone into a dance break, or there are just so many ways it could have been more subtle. And then there's that, even the choreo reflects this as well, because there's that part of the choreo where they sort of like fall and then like step. Do you know what I'm talking about? Like this, like it looks like self-harm because they just like kind of drop themselves. And I'm like, no, like something's not right.
Yeah. And I feel like as well with this song, I saw a lot of like Agassiz come forward and be like, so you will release this, but when JB wanted to release certain tracks, you were like, no. But I have a theory. I don't know. I'm probably not the only person that thought this, but I think maybe JYP himself was intimidated by JB's talent and didn't want to be overshadowed at his own company. That's why he kind of like, you know, talked down at him, because I don't really think, you know, JB's tracks were trash or anything. I could be biased though. But yeah, I do think, as you said, Shay, I think maybe they did think they were doing something and it went the other way. But as you said, I feel like in this game and in this day and age, it's better to have like polar opinions than have an opinion where it's just like, oh yeah, it was all right. And then you move on to the next thing. It's either like really love it or really hate it. And I feel like that's what this debut, I don't personally hate it. I just feel like I can understand why it's a bit jarring, and I feel like I can understand what they were trying to do, but it just didn't hit. But I just think it just depends on what they do next. But another qualm that I have, and I think this is why, I guess in terms of like the newer stuff, and maybe, you know, someone out there can point us in the right direction. I feel like, I don't know, I feel like back in the day, each company had their own colour. And it's like, okay, I'm going to go to YG because I'm feeling some hip hop. I'm going to go to SM because I'm feeling like some pop R&B or whatever, fusion, whatever. And now I just feel like what companies are doing now is, if Shay's company produces this girl group and they have this amazing girl crush image and they're killing it, now because I feel like, oh my gosh, I want that success, I'm going to have some carbon copy of Shay's group, but with a slight Shanice twist. But the Shanice twist is so minute that really and truly you can exchange like members and songs and you wouldn't be able to tell the difference unless like you're a hardcore fan. And I feel like that's what's happening. I feel like everything's just like merging into one. And I'm not saying like particular groups should just stick to one genre or stick
to the same thing. No, but I get what you mean. Like back in the day, like you knew this group done this, and it doesn't mean that they only dabbled in one style of music, but they had their own color. Whereas now it feels like the kind of edgy girl crush, like technology type vibe is just overdone.
Yeah, it's kind of like, you know, we have all these fast food chains, and all of a sudden, because Taco Bell is the biggest thing, now McDonald's is selling tacos, and it's just like, it doesn't make sense. I don't get it.
It's weird. And I guess, like, once again, it could have been done for a number of reasons. There have been a few like really competitive debuts, especially from girl groups of recent. Are they called like Keeper?
Kepler or something like that.
Yeah, the Wadada. So like, if so much is going on, you might just be like, we're trying to make a mark, like we need to be seen, and then perhaps they'll change down the line, like Shanice said. But it was interesting.
Yeah.
And then moving on, we actually have a dilemma for today. So Shanice, do you wanna read it for us?
Yeah. I don't know why I said it like that. Okay, because it's kind of long. So bear in mind, okay, make sure you have snacks and stuff.
Get comfortable.
All right. So it says, hi guys, I love your podcast and I'm listening all the way from Korea. Woo woo. Well, we international, Shay. Sorry.
Wow.
I'm officially from the UK, so it's nice to listen to a little bit of home. My dilemma isn't really K-pop related, but more career related. And I was wondering what you guys might think of my situation. I mean, girl, we could try, but I don't know, like, we ain't no professionals. Anyway, I moved to Korea just under 3 years ago with my husband, and I love it. I slowly want to transition out of teaching into something more creative. I am still figuring out what, but I love to paint and draw. Most likely what I want to go down that path. Sorry. In terms of my art, I haven't been getting any commissions, so I'm still teaching English part-time plus other odd jobs to get by. My husband's friend has a small startup and they are looking for people to join their team. My husband enthusiastically put me forward as I am looking for work. My husband's friend, let's call him Frank, have been communicating so I can learn more about the role, and I'm unsure that I can deliver. I love what Frank's company stands for, but I don't want to sacrifice my art, which my husband is implying. After many talks, I haven't landed the role as of yet. I feel pressure from my husband. I guess he feels pressure to get this role. I am worried if I don't take the role, then my husband would be upset. I am worried as much as I support the cause, I won't be happy as my art may suffer. Okay. I'm worried because Frank is connected to my husband. Home and work will merge into one thing. I'm already annoyed that certain conversations I have had about the role and my concerns have fallen onto the lap of my husband, and I get a mini lecture about how amazing this opportunity can be and I should be more open. I honestly feel trapped, as I feel like every answer is the wrong answer. I don't want to let anyone down. I guess what I'm asking is, what would you do in my position? Or how can I get my husband to back off so I can explore the option on my own? Sorry, this is long. Sass.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
So yeah, just to recap, Sass moves to Korea with her husband. She's been teaching. She wants to get back into art. Her husband's friend Frank has a startup business and they're looking for, I guess, someone to join the team. She's still inquiring about the role, she's unsure, but she feels some sort of pressure to either, she basically feels like she doesn't have a, how would you like summarize this dilemma? It's quite,
I guess like, so her desire is to be an artist, but at the moment she's teaching. A connection of her husband has a job opportunity for her, but she really doesn't want to merge work and her relationship. And the position doesn't seem to be in alignment with her dreams and goals. So she's wondering how she should navigate the whole situation. Yes, it's a difficult one. I always like to try to keep work and relationships separate in general. And also it would be an injustice to you because you're sort of negating your true passion for the sake of this.
Well, she did say it's not picking up at the moment. So I think what you can do is you need to, first of all, you need to not worry about what your husband's going to think, because at the end of the day, yes, you guys are married, but you are still your own person.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like what your husband said, like you can still go into it with an open mind. As you said, you're still not sure what the role is or what was expected of you or whatever, so you could still, you know, have still be open to those conversations or meetings or whatever is going on and see if this is something that you want to go down. I think what the sticky situation is, I guess, is because of the close connection with the friend and the husband, because I feel like as well, for example, if this was like the same thing but it was like removed from like your inner circle, you'd be more inclined and you'd be more open to it. And I feel like because it's removed, they don't know like the inner workings of how your mind works. If that makes sense. Because Frank is close to your husband, he may know like this isn't something, you know, you 100 want to pursue and dedicate your life to, and that might influence Frank's decision, if that makes sense.
Yeah, no.
Because yeah, I feel sense. Like for me personally, if I'm applying for a job that's outside of the artistic or creative realm, and I'm an artistic and creative person, I'm not unless the role needs some sort of artistic flair, which most roles don't, depending on what it is, then I kind of hide what my intentions are. And I feel like that's with everyone. Like, to be honest, like, Sally that may work at a supermarket, there's obviously there's people that love working at a supermarket, and that's no disrespect to them, but if Sally's dream is to be a carpenter or whatever, I don't think she's gonna just talk about carpentry in her supermarket interview. Do you know what I mean? She's gonna be like, I love working with produce, I love organizing things, or whatever that person needs to hear so she can get paid. And I feel like, as you said, with the immersion of the work and home, because you are so close, you can't really hide those things. Do you know what I mean?
And I guess another element to all of this is if it's okay with you to sort of be open-minded, because it seems as though it's still very early stages. The company is a startup, so startups tend to have a lot of flexibility. So perhaps they're bringing you on to head a certain department that you could add an artistic flair to. But obviously in the back of your mind, you might have that iffiness because of the close proximity, because it could work against you or in your favor. It could make it a very friendly, amazing work environment. Everyone gets on super well. Or it could make you like really nervous and feels like you're walking on eggshells, sort of.
Yeah. I feel like it's because with SAS, she was saying how, I think there's a part in here, I can't find it now, but she says she was talking to Frank about the role or whatever, and certain conversations that she has had with Frank has somehow found its way to her husband, and I feel like she doesn't like that. I feel like that's the thing that's making her wary of it as well. Because I feel like if she's had that conversation with Frank, whether that is, I'm not sure what's going on, or whatever conversation has happened, I feel like that should stay between her and Frank.
And then she said, I get a mini lecture on how amazing the opportunity is from her husband, I'm assuming. So it seems a bit iffy. But I also, like, yeah, go yeah, on, go ahead.
No, go ahead, go ahead.
Okay. I was just going to say, like, at the end of the day, it's 10 times worse to just sit on your own and like create theories or scenarios in your head. Maybe sort of voice some of these feelings to your husband so he's understanding you a bit more and understanding where you're coming from. And maybe that will allow him to implement certain boundaries or to understand that, oh, maybe this opportunity just isn't for you. So,
yeah.
Yeah.
I say still be open, still have these conversations. At the end of the day, as you said, you're still doing your teaching part-time and other jobs, and maybe this particular job, as Shay said, will give you some flexibility. So you may be able to still do, you may not do as much art as you want, but you probably would be doing more than if you've got like another like conventional job or whatever. So I guess you should still be open to it, see if that this is something that you want to go down. And if it isn't, then you just have to be strong in your choice and be like, this is like, at the end of the day, hubby, like, this is my life. And as long as you're not being a bum, do you know what I mean? Like, as long as it's like, well, I don't want to do this, so provide for me, or whatever, if that's not your arrangement. There's some people that have that arrangement. Lucky. Some people have that arrangement with their husband where it's just like, you know, the traditional stay home and cook and clean, I'll go out, provide, whatever. If that's not your arrangement and, you know, everything's split down the middle and, you know, you have a financial responsibility, then I can understand if, you know, maybe from your husband's side, he may feel a bit of pressure, like, you know, if you just want to throw yourself into art. I mean, you know how the creative space is, art space is.
Yeah, it can be unpredictable.
It's the luck of the draw. So maybe that's where his naggingness comes from.
You could even, like, I think you could come to a middle ground. Like, one, you can voice your concerns with your husband in terms of the crossover, mixing home and work. Like, that sounds like it's your main issue when it comes to that. But since this is a startup, if Frank seems open to it, you could say, Frank, like, thanks for the opportunity and, like, considering me. And if I was to join the team, this is what I would love to be able to focus on. Because one, it could allow you to sort of expand your network and knowledge with the art space. Most companies have like pots of money that they have to give away, or they donate to charities or companies, so that you could maybe help that pot of money be directed towards art-based companies and grow your connections there. So you can sort of see if you can make it work in your favor.
Yeah.
But
and as you said, you could do that, but also it just depends on what, because you don't even know what the role is.
Yeah, exactly.
It seems like you don't even know what it is. So it also depends, because again, it could be something so far removed from,
like, art. Do you want to be Frank's assistant?
Do you know what I mean? But at the end of the day, I just feel like depends what it is. Depends, again, if it's flexible, again, it can still work in your favor. No one's saying you have to spend 25 years at this company. Like, you could, you know, if you feel like, you know, you've been there for, I don't know, I feel like a year is a good time. Like, if you've been there for a year and you feel like your art's going in a different direction, or you feel like you want to pursue something else, or even if, for now, if it's like a financial thing, you know, you find out about the role, and if it is something that you can do, but you're not, maybe not that gung-ho about it, depending on your situation, because I feel like you say you're doing other odd jobs to me, like, they're few and far between. You could
just, and also, like, a time thing, like what you've already said, Shanice,
yeah,
if you find that you're being quite, like, you're being spread quite thin between teaching and the other odd jobs, maybe it's a time thing where you'll be able to make the amount that you're making with all of that combined at this one job. It's taking maybe a smaller portion of time, and then you have maybe more time to dedicate towards your art and your craft. But there's a lot of ifs, buts, and maybes.
It depends what this role is, because, this may not be, like, as I said, it may not be art-related, but you going through certain things or doing certain things may trigger some sort of, like, inspiration for your art. Mm-hmm. And again, as Shay said, most startups are quite flexible, so you could do things in between, and, you know, maybe every year, whatever, or even if, you know, you're doing a role and you're not sure about it, like, you can, all what most people do when they're in jobs, you can look for other jobs. And then if you land something else that, you know, that's more, you know, in line with you, and, you know, you, like,
exactly,
you, you, like, do that, and it's a similar this pay, one thing, or it's only more, whatever, then, like, your husband may half and half be like, yeah, but Frank's startup, but, like, babe, this is my life. And it's not like, as I said, again, I don't know what your setup at home is, but if it is, like, you know, you're sharing financial responsibility, it's not that, you know, there's any financial burden on your husband now, because it's like, okay, look, I have a job. Like, I'm doing this. This brings up a thing that I saw on TikTok, where sometimes I feel like this is not going to turn into, like, a man-hating podcast. Like, I know every man is not,
we,
like,
love this, men.
But I feel like sometimes with men and relationship, men are more inclined to, they could date any woman, but they need to align with whatever's going on with their life. They need to be able to seamlessly fit in. So, for example, if Ben likes, let's say, if Ben likes painting, he would want someone to paint alongside with him. If Ben likes music, then Ben would want someone to either, like, join him on his, like, musical journey or whatever. Whereas I feel like with women, I feel like we have friends to do certain things. So, for example, if I love to binge, I don't know, Real Housewives, but that's not Ben's thing, I'm not going to take that personally. I'm like, okay, I'm going to watch this with shade because that's our thing. That's what she likes. And I feel like with women, they tend to partner up with men that it's more about like the attribute side, like, you know, that they take care of me, they're caring, it's not necessarily, they may not necessarily seamlessly fit in with their life. Mm. Whereas I feel like with certain men, that might be a deal breaker for them. So going back to this went on a whole random tangent, but maybe you feel like you're getting this mini rant because you feel like, you know, it should just fit in seamlessly because this is my friend. There's, you know, you said you're looking for work because you have all these odd jobs, so there's work, so it's a good cause, you should stand for it. But sometimes, you know, at the end of the day, you're two different people trying to come together. So, long story short, still figure out, like, make sure you know what the role is backward, not necessarily backwards, forwards, but a substantial amount for you to be like, okay, yes, no. Yeah. And then go from there. Don't worry about us. Don't worry about this, your husband. Like, don't worry about him.
Yeah, but it's true. Like, it's what's going to be important for you. And I guess us, like, we're fellow creatives. When we go into something that isn't in alignment with our true purpose, it can be really draining. So you don't want to, like, have that mess up your artistic side as well. But yes, if you have more details on this or you want to come back to us, make sure to submit again. But
also, guys, like, people that are listening, if you have... Because we are not acne arts, we don't know. We don't know what we're talking about. We just took it off the top of our head. But like, if you guys have anything to add to this, you can also just submit it on our website and just put in like Saturn's dilemma, whatever. We probably will understand what you mean when you explain or add points or whatever. But, you know, it's good to hear other perspectives as well.
Yes, definitely. Or you can leave them to us on socials. If you have any advice for Sass, we'll make sure to either try and recap it on the pod or share a response on socials. But now, as we come towards the end of the episode, it's time for On the Radar. So this is where me and Shanice will let you know if there's been anything we've been listening to, watching, or anything we want to put you guys onto. So Shanice, what's on your radar?
I feel like I did have something on my radar. My brain has just gone blank. Because I didn't write it down. I didn't write it down. Wait, come back to me. What's on your radar?
Oh, do I have anything on my radar? I started watching a new K-drama. Ooh. I think it's called like Forecasting for Weather and Love or something like that. It's interesting. This sounds so terrible. It's not bad or anything. No, it's interesting. I don't know, like, it kind of threw me for a loop for like the past few episodes. So spoiler from here on out. And Auntie Shanice doesn't watch K-dramas, so she's okay. But so the two main characters, the guy confessed to the girl, and then it isn't like those dramas. You know, some dramas, one episode is like the girl's perspective, then the next one might be more of the guy's perspective, and some parts overlap. But it will show you like an episode like where stuff happens, and then the next episode shows you like the sly things that happen. So she's basically above him in the company. So sometimes like she yells at him at work. So you're left feeling by the end of the episode like, oh, like she's really mean to him. But then you watch the next episode and they're like winking at each other after she yells at him. So I'm like, what's going on? But no, like, it's a good time kill drama. It's cute. Yeah. So I guess that's on my radar.
Random question. This is kind of related to the dilemma and what you just said. Do you think you could like work with either like your significant other or like a sibling? And when I say work with, I don't mean like you're on the same level. I mean they're like above you.
I would say yes personally, but like my idea of work's maybe a bit different. Because I already work with my family, so like we're used to it.
I mean, like, the way you and your family work is like slightly unconventional.
Yeah,
I mean, for example, if you're stuck in an office building, I don't know what this office does. I don't know, they supply paper clips.
I get what you mean. I think I would be okay with it. Like, one, I don't think, don't be mean to anyone. Like, as long as you're not mean to each other, I think it's fine. But I'm quite someone that I like doing what I know I'm good at. Like, I don't need to be the boss. Like, I can be, I like to be the head of something because I like to think that I have, like, great ideas. So I might want to creative direct stuff. But I have no problem with maybe, like, the top of the management team coming to talk to me, if that makes sense. I don't really have an issue with authority because I don't want to do what you're doing. So you should tell me what to do.
I feel like I'm the same in terms of, like, it's something that's not in my realm or whatever. I'm just there to get paid. I don't want your responsibility. So just do what you got to do. I think the only thing that crossed my mind is I don't want, for example, just say I am good at my job. I don't want people to think, oh, is she only getting rewarded because, you know, she knows the boss? Or, like, I don't want, like, the it's the work politics. It's not necessarily, you know, my relationship with my sister or whoever.
But, like, it's the dynamics with
how it reads to everyone else.
But that's, like, also a thing. I thought it was, like, a joke, but apparently, like, a lot of workplaces don't hire couples or allow, staff to date each other.
Yeah, no, because it gets messy. I've been in places, and you'd think we're in high school, when people start dating or liking each other, or this person likes this person but doesn't like this person, and it's just aren't we adults? I'm confused. Why? Can we just do our work and go home? Why do we... Listen, there's been places I've worked, guys, and I know colleagues that are kissing in broom cupboards. And I'm like, this is not a TV drama. This is work. So can we work? But then when I'm just there to do my work, sometimes I get called grumpy or I'm not being part of the team. Listen, I don't want to play kiss chase with you guys. Do you know what I mean? I still don't know what was on my radar. I want to check my phone. Please hold. Oh, yes. There was, so you know how I spoke about last week how Queendom is coming back and I said that Hyorin is going to participate.
Yes.
I'm shocked, but there are a lot of people that don't know who Hyorin is.
Oh.
I've seen people say, is she new?
I actually find the whole, like, is this person new comment really rude. Like, that's so... I'll let you talk about Queendom, but I remember when Super M came out and people asked if Taemin was new.
Oh, yes, I remember that.
The audacity. But go on, sorry.
Because I think I saw, like, I wish I could find it now. It was like a thread or something. And I can't remember who else is going to be on Queendom, the new one. Mm-hmm. But a person from a fandom or whatever was just like, oh, so-and-so group is going to be fine because they're up against this person. And then someone must have been like, you mean Hyorin? It's like, yeah, she's new, isn't she? No, she's a really good vocalist. And then I was like, oh, shit. And I'm just like, people don't know who Hyorin is? I feel like, okay, maybe you might not know the name, but sister?
No, I think sometimes people milk the ignorance because if someone says something about your fave, it would take you half a minute to go hack all of their accounts. Their bank accounts, have their family's addresses and middle names. You could Google a name if you don't know who it is.
Yeah, it is a bit performative, but don't disrespect Hyorin like that, please. Mm-mm. And thank you.
Yes.
But yes, guys, that's all we have time for today. Thank you for listening to How You At You.
And remember that you can send us any of your unpopular opinions, stories, or dilemmas to halut@gmail.com or leave them anonymously on Shanice's website, which is kpopbox.co.uk/halut@you.
Yes. I've been Shanice from K-pop Box. What? K-pop Box.
Remix.
You can follow me at kpopbox_ on Instagram, Twitter, TikTok, and kpopbox1 on YouTube. Comeback is pending.
Yes, love that. And you can follow, I've been Shay from the K-Way. You can follow me on everything, under the K-Way. It should come up, hopefully. I am active sometimes.
Somewhere. Shay is quite active on TikTok, so maybe follow her there. I always see you pop up.
You know what? I do have a little secret. I film everything in like one day and just like post it over.
That's how you meant to do it.
So you think I'm there, but I'm not really there.
Yeah, but you're still posting every day. Anyway, until next time, we will
holla at you.
Bye. Bye.
With the Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.